Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Strikeout Bros, episode 15. What's going on, Lash? How you doing?
What's going on, man? We got a lot to get to. It's been an interesting week.
Always is. Baseball is great. I love baseball. It's not even half. We're not even at the halfway mark, and things are getting really juicy, you know? But today's episode, the name of the episode is called Should We Pack Our Bags? And who are we talking about? We're talking about Vladimir Guerrero. We're talking about Mr. Bichette. We're talking about Chris Bassett. We're talking about all the high-quality players that play for the Toronto Blue Jays. And we read a lot of reports this week in the papers, and we're going to get straight to it.
Right. For a minute, I thought you were talking about the New York Mets, but I guess not. Take that back.
Yeah, well, that was last week. You know, things change over a course of a week, you know. But this week, which is going to be juicy and interesting for all you fans out there. You don't have many fans, but, you know, those guys out there listening, want to keep you, you know, strapped into your chairs, and you're going to go along for this ride. Check this out. So Toronto's early season ticket renewal, right, for 2025 signals a fire sale at the trade deadline. And let me explain that. So usually the subscribers that have these season tickets, right, they usually pay for the following season in August or September, right? But for, you know, those guys out there in Canada, the one team they have, right? These are longtime Blue Jay supporters were a bit surprised because they received a notice this week stating that they have to renew their season tickets for 2025 with the first installment due July 22nd. And, you know, they're wondering what the hell is going on. And, you know, I kind of see what's going on over there. It's like we want to get rid of all these players. We want to start fresh, but we want to secure that money as well. We want to make sure that those seats are, you know, filled. So, you know, I think it's horrible for the fans, you know, and you can kind of tell what's going on. These guys are like, what, 5.5 out of the last wild card, right? And it's funny because if they don't play well, they're playing the Boston Red Sox at this moment, right? And they lost the first two games out of that series. They played the Guardians prior to that, and they were able to scoop two games out of that, right? So they're trying to stay relevant, but, you know, it looks like things are going south for them. So if they get swept by the Boston Red Sox, I'm not exactly sure who they're playing next, but if they get swept by these guys, I can guarantee you that there'll be a fire sale prior to the trade deadline. And you know what? They have a lot of good players that could, you know, I can actually see in different uniforms. Like, man, I would love to see Vlad in a different uniform. Not in the Yankee uniform, but, you know, I know the Yankees are looking for a first baseman. So seeing Vlad shave and wearing pinstripes would be insane. What do you think, Lash? That sounds crazy, right?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. As we already heard, they just recently just traded Cabin Biggio to the
LAD.
Dodgers, so that was the first piece of their many star players that have already been traded. Biggio is the son of Craig Biggio, the former Houston Astro great.
Amazing
but,
star.
Yeah, I see. The one thing I never understood, I never understand the concept of being a season ticket holder fan, because the way I look at it, right, you spend so much money on these tickets, and the thing is if you, I feel like if you're gonna buy a season ticket, you gotta make sure you can go to at least 90% of those 40 plus 80 games, I mean, that are at home. What happens if you can't make it? You guys try to sell the tickets. If not, you got to give it away. That's money you're losing because you paid for that ticket. So if you can't go, you already pay for a ticket. So it's just, I never understood the concept of it. But, you know, some people are, you know, these fans are quite upset because they're losing their star players. It's like, why am I paying all this money and I might have a bare cabinet of nobody left? But it's unfortunately the organization can't worry about the fans and they can't worry about what the fans think, because if you think like the fans, you'll be a fan and you'll get nowhere. So organization in Toronto's got to do what's best for them. Maybe they got to start going on the rebuild path. You know, keep Vladimir Guerrero and rebuild around everybody else. Other guys are kind of replaceable. Money to Springer, so that's a contract they probably, I don't know if they're going to be able to get that off the books via trade or they're just going to have to eat it up. But as a fan, you know, going into the season and seeing the way the season has gone so far, you can't be like, oh my goodness, I'm surprised. Why are they selling? You know, why are they getting rid of everybody? It's what it is. So I think what they should do is, you know, if you're a fan, all right, you know you're rebuilding, just say, hey, I'm not going to partake in the tickets next year. I'll just buy individual tickets. That's what I do when I go to games. I buy individual tickets.
Yeah, same here. Me and you do the same. Why? We work three jobs. This is one of them. So me and this guy have five jobs between us. You know, we share this one. And we both have two jobs on the side, right? So think about it. Why would I be a season ticket holder, you know? Now, maybe when I retire, you know, that's a different story. Because, you know, I'm going to want to find a hobby. You know, people like fishing or doing whatever it is. But, you know, being a season ticket holder for your favorite team is kind of cool. I kind of, you know, I want to see that happen for myself. You know, I can have the ticket ready to go. I don't have to worry about it. And the team is hot. You know, you want to be there. I mean, I've been to a whole series. Me and you and I went to like a whole series. You know, it gets a little tedious after a while, you know, because you have to revolve your whole schedule around it, you know. But it's kind of cool, though, to be able to say, I'm going to the game today, and I have to worry about getting a ticket, buying a ticket. And having your own personal seat is kind of cool in my eyes. I don't know, but, you know, I'm just saying.
No, it definitely is fun. It allows you to feel like you're part of the organization. You know, the team is kind of invested in you as the fan by giving you the option to pick the seat that you want for the game, for the games that you're going to be attending for the year. So that is kind of exciting. But I think the way it should be is that you should have an opt-in year. You shouldn't be held to, like, have to buy the tickets. You know, there's a year, you know, what happens if one of those years you lose your job and now you can't afford to buy those tickets? So just say, hey, I'm not going to buy the tickets, and just be based on a year-to-year basis. And at the end of each year, say, hey, listen, the option is available to buy tickets for next season. If you're interested, go ahead. If not, then we'll see you next time, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. But, you know, like I said, these guys have a lot of great players. So if anybody's going to be, you know, dropping players like that, it's going to be interesting to see because, like you said, George Springer, I forgot about him. You know, he's there too. And you have Chris Bassett. He's having a decent year. You know, they have a lot of good players that can be, you know, total assets to a team that's trying to make the postseason. Like, you know, half of the league is fighting for this last wild card. It's kind of crazy, you know. Even the Mets now, you know, they're doing so well. You know, they're the hottest team in baseball right now. A week ago, they weren't, you know, even in the race. But now they're half a game out of the second and third wild card. This is crazy. There's a lot of teams fighting. San Francisco's fighting. Chicago, the Cubs, they're fighting. Everybody's fighting for this last wild card. So the season has been a little different this year because a lot of teams aren't excelling, you know, like the Yankees are, you know, the Dodgers. There's a lot of teams out there, the Baltimore Orioles, you know. There's a lot of teams out here that are, you know, excelling at a high rate, but the majority of the league is fighting for these, you know, last positions in the playoffs, which is kind of cool because it keeps the season interesting. You know, those little ball clubs that are fighting, when you see two ball clubs that are low on the totem pole fight, it's a very interesting game, you know, because they're both, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to win this game. And they either have problems, you know, with run support, or they have problems, you know, coming from the mound. The rotation isn't as strong as these elite teams. So you see, you know, a fight, you know, like right now the Mets are fighting the Texas Rangers. The Rangers and the Mets have a similar record, you know. I think the Rangers have like maybe a two-game lead on them, And, you know, it's funny because these guys are the World Series champions. You know, they shouldn't be in this position right now, right? But they're not really able to defend their championship the way they thought they would, you know? But, like I said, interesting baseball. It makes sense. You know, you got two teams that are struggling and they battle it out. And they're trying to win these games. They're trying to, you know, push runs across the board. And it's fun to watch, you know? And let's see what happens. I think that if Toronto doesn't, you know, win the next couple of games, or they don't go 7 out of 10 in the next couple of weeks, they're definitely going to be sellers. And I would love to see at least one of those guys land on our side. You know, George Springer, what does he play? He plays third base, right? Or is he an outfielder? I'm not 100%
sure. I say he's outfield.
He's outfield? All right, we're kind of stacked out there. But if we can put something together and, you know, set something up, I would love to have him in the lineup. That would definitely help us make it to the postseason, I think, you know. Right now, everybody's hitting on our side. You know, the Mets are clicking. So a week ago, like I said, I would have got rid of a lot of people. But now it's like, you know, what's going on here? It looks interesting. I don't know. But let's move on. Let's talk about how Kevin Biggio was tossed. He was the first guy to go, right? And he ends up with the Dodgers, right? What a great position for him to land in, right? Like, you go from horrible to great. I mean, the expectations are going to be, you know, really high for this guy. But he is replacing, what's this guy's name? I looked it up. And I was wondering why a guy that's batting 200, right, getting a chance to play for the Dodgers. And the reason why is because of Chris Taylor is the guy he's replacing, and he's batting 100. So, yeah, a win-win for the Dodgers, I guess, right?
Yeah, Chris Taylor, he had a pretty good year last year. He was a pretty good player. I guess that he's struggling, and I guess they felt like they needed to upgrade the position that he was at, and so they got Biggio. So who knows? Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. Biggio's not much better as far as average goes, but according to the Dodgers, he's doing a little better than Chris Taylor. So,
yeah, Chris Taylor batting 108, right? 93 at-bats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right. And he struck out 42 times and got one extra base hit. So, I mean, he's been around for a while. You know, he's been with the Dodgers since like 2017, I believe. He was signed for $13 million this year. He has another $13 million coming next year. And a $4 million buyout out of the $12 million that he's supposed to be making in 2026. So I can't see this guy sticking around any longer. You know, he's been around for a long time, but I don't think he's going to be in a Dodger uniform for very long after this move and change that the Dodgers made recently. But I'm really, really interested in seeing what the Dodgers, you know, they have a lot of problems. They just finished losing one of their star players, Mookie Betts, right? Fractured hand or something like that, I believe. And now they're going to have to adjust. And, you know, they're going to have to try to figure it out so they can stay, you know, elite and on top of the game. So, like I said, if the Toronto Blue Jays are sellers, then, you know, I can definitely see the Dodgers looking in and saying, you know, who can we scoop up here to better our team while Mookie's away, you know? Out of all the teams that might be sellers, I think the Toronto Blue Jays have the most assets. And they'll come out on top because I feel like, you know, they're going to get top-tier prospects for these guys, you know? And it's a shame because, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, I would always say, I don't understand why the Toronto Blue Jays can't compete. They have a lot of great stars and a lot of these guys are offspring, you know, from, like, these MVP caliber type players, you know. And they just can't figure it out. So, you know, it's really hard to division to play in. I understand that. You know, the Baltimore Orioles, you have the Yankees, you know, and those guys are fighting to stay on top and try to take over the lead in that division. I don't think that the division is truly the Yankees. I'm saying that Baltimore's going to overcome what's happening over there now. You know, they had a lot of pitching problems. They lost a lot of great guys from their rotation. You know, a lot of those guys are getting their second Tommy John surgery. And they're still you know, able to perform and, you know, stay up. So the Baltimore Orioles are playing the Yankees now. These are the series that, you know, baseball fans look forward to, because you see the elite fighting, you know. And now that divisional games are, you know, there's only what, like how many divisional games now? 12 versus 19, you know, back in the day?
Yeah.
Right? So
I think it's 13 games.
It's 13 games now. So 13 Something games like versus, it's like 12, 13 versus the 19 that we used to, you know, we're used to, right? Because we've been around for a while and we love baseball and we kind of know what's going on, right? But now things are changing, you know, because now every team is playing everybody at least once, right? So they had to dwindle the game, the divisional game. So now these games mean more than anything, you know, because it's less of them. So when, you know, you find yourself watching a series like the Baltimore Orioles and the Yankees, ah, man, that's really interesting baseball. That stuff is happening right now as we speak, you know. You have the Baltimore Orioles playing, and what's the score over there, Lash? This is the second game of the series, I believe, right?
They just gave a 3-run home run, so it's 5-4 Baltimore. They're going to lose this game, but it's what it is.
No, stop talking like that. I don't believe that for a second. 5-4, Baltimore is a strong club. And we'll see what happens, but
like Yankees said, are a very good team. They got better offense.
Yeah, it's okay. That's what you say, you know. But when I look at the overall, you know, you say that, but it's easy to shut down, you know, a Judge and Soto. You don't have to pitch to them, you know. You really don't have to. I think that Baltimore has a better, a well-rounded lineup, you know. So you say, okay, you have to watch out for the 2, 3, and 4. Yeah, granted, you have to watch out for them, especially with men on base, right? And, you know, in a short field like, you know, Yankee Stadium, short porch, whatever you want to call it. Let's just say that, you know, they tap the ball and it goes over the fence. Like you said, look, it's 5-4 now, but I'm still rooting for those Baltimore Orioles. I love them. I love their spunk.
Yeah, and the other hottest team that we want to talk about reigns in the NL East, and that's the New York Mets, man. All of a sudden, they've won, what, 7 out of the last 8? They're just on fire. I don't know what happened, but the offense is finally coming around, and they're playing small ball, and Alonso's back to hitting bombs, and McNeil's scoring runs. And what's your thoughts about the Mets currently?
Man, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. It's kind of crazy because it all started out with, right, I remember we played the Dodgers. The Dodgers came to New York, and I went to the game. I went to the doubleheader. The first game was postponed due to rain. I went to the first and second. It was a doubleheader. My dad's in town. Took him to the game. First game, we were playing well. We had the lead, and then we fumbled, and we lost that one. We lost the second one, and we ended up getting swept the next day. So we lost 3 games in 2 days. Right to those guys. Then we played the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks, it was a 4-game series, right, in New York as well. And we won the first 2 games. And then we ended up losing the next 2 games. And I'm like, okay, here we go. This is what we do, right? Then we went over to D.C. What did we do out there? I mean, granted, D.C. is a horrible team, right? But they're fighting. They have a lot of young guys, and they're trying to figure it out, and they're spunky. But guess what? We swept them, all right? So we went there, we swept those guys, and then we went to London to play 2 games. We got a lot of rest in between those 2 games because, you know, the traveling, the time zones, and all that. We split that series. So now, we ended up sweeping the Nationals, and then we end up splitting a game with the Phillies, right? and we split the series with the Diamondbacks. So now you're starting to see a pattern, right? You're starting to see, all right, where we have some sort of fight going on. And then Miami comes down to New York. Welcome back to New York, guys, right? Miami, they lost the series. They won the first game. I was there for a couple of those games, too. That first game hurt because I thought we had a shot. No, we ended up losing. It's okay, though, because we ended up winning that series. So now you're really starting to see a pattern. We split one with Philly. We swept the Nationals. We won the series with Miami. And now I'm starting to see something. We're starting to, like, figure it out. We're hitting the ball. And this is, you know, not too long after I finish saying, I'm not watching these games anymore. I don't want to deal with these guys anymore. I don't want to see Alonso get paid. I want McNeil out. I'm saying a lot of negative things about this team, you know? Man, here comes San Diego. San Diego comes to Citi Field. And what do we do to them? We swept them too. Oh, my God. What's going on? The San Diego series was really interesting because we showed that we can hit the ball. The pitching was excellent. We're hitting the ball. We're connecting as a team. We're hitting home runs, but we're not really like we're getting a lot of hits, consecutive hits. So we're, you know, we're doing the right thing. We're not just swinging for the fences. And the funny thing is that, you know, this is right after Alvarez comes back, you know. And I knew Alvarez wasn't going to have a easy time, you know, getting adjusted and coming back to the ball club. And I knew it was going to be hard for him, but he was able to, like, speed up the process. And he was able to, you know, contribute to the club as well. And we destroyed those guys, too. We destroyed San Diego. We swept them. And then we traveled to Texas. And we beat them in the first two games. Today, tonight, as we speak. We're going for another sweep, all right? We're the hottest thing in baseball right now. It's pretty crazy, right? Let me explain something to you. And, you know, the contributions from J.D. Martinez, you know? Yeah, we signed him for a year. We knew what he was capable of doing, you know? This guy hit, I think, 33 bombs last year with the Dodgers, and he got 108 RBIs. We didn't see any of that early on in the season with the Mets, but now he's a different person. It's like he finally figured it out. Now he's hitting everything in sight. J.D. Martinez went on a streak. This is like some random, you know, trivia for someone that, you know, loves baseball. One day is going to use this at a bar. So understand that J.D. Martinez went up to bat 10 times, right? I'm sorry, Lasha. You know, I'm ranting right now, and I haven't given you a chance to speak. You asked me a question, and I'm super excited, and I'm talking about my team right now. You know, I love your team, but this is crazy to me because, you know, I want to hear your thoughts on what I've just finished saying, and just want to give you this random, you know, these random numbers. So J.D. Martinez went up to bat 10 times, and he got on base 10 times. Whether he walked, got a hit, got a home run, whatever it was, he was able to get on base 10 times in a row, all right? And the record was held by Robinson Cano. And on JD's 11th time at bat, he was unable to break the record. But still, you know, he was the player of the week in the National League. You know, he's been carrying this team on his back. But it seems like, you know, it was infectious because now everybody's hitting. And it's pretty crazy. And it's exciting to watch now, you know? And the Mets, you know, they won 13 out of their last 17 games. You know, who would have thought? Who would have thought?
And yeah, no, definitely. It's exciting time in Queens. You have every right. Don't be apologizing for talking about your team. This is good. We don't talk about when the Mets are doing well. It seems like every time we come on here, we're always complaining about how bad they're doing. But it made me just think, imagine if you had J.D. Martinez in spring training, how far, who knows how far this team could have been. You know, you just need one little spark to get you going. And when you see one guy doing well, it motivates the other guys. And he's the veteran, along with Pete Alonso, in that clubhouse, along with Lindor as well. Because you notice how Lindor is starting to do well, too, ever since Martinez got going. I don't know if you noticed that, but
yeah, I did.
Lindor's finally coming around, you know.
But you know why? This is funny, right? Because he was like a middle of the lineup type of guy, right? This is where they had him batting, you know. He was batting fifth, sixth, second. You know, but now he's batting. He's the top of the order guy. And for some reason, it works for him there. He's able to, like, you know, start the, you know, the movement. It's kind of crazy. Like, he bats really well when he's the leadoff the guy. I don't know. It's just weird. It's just weird. I don't know. You know, but listen, man. Remember, we had our first guest not too long ago. We had Craig here, and he's a diehard Mets fan. And, you know, we were talking about who are we going to get rid of? And, you know, what are we looking for in return? So now, it's more like, who do we get to try to come over via trade and to contribute to make ourselves even better now? Do we look for pitching? Do we look for, you know, another guy in the middle of the order to, you know, add to the Alonso JD, you know, 3-4? You know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. It's something to watch, you know. Like, I'm excited. You know what? Listen, I know we're not going to make the, you know, even if we make the playoffs, the Mets have this thing, you know, they play well for a ride, you know, for a while, we go for a ride, and then the debacle. That's what we call it around here. You know, me and Craig, you know, we see each other a lot. I talk to you a lot, and for years now, we call it the debacle, you know, like, oh, the Mets debacle is coming soon, you know? It's like a movie, you know, a blockbuster movie, you know? It always happens, you know? And I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but, you know, I'm used to it. And if it does happen, I'm prepared for it, you know? And I'm not the guy that goes to work and, you know, I work with a lot of Yankee fans. So I'm not going to be like, yeah, you know, the Mets, yo, we're the stuff right now. We're the best. I'm not going to be talking, because I know when September comes and we need that one game, those two games in that pivotal series, we can't produce and we can't finish. So I'm going to stay quiet and hope for the best. Now, if we make the playoffs, what a great story. Can we finish off and win a championship? I don't think so. I don't think we're ready for that, but I like what I see so far.
You know what my question is for Steve Cohen would be, what is your ultimate goal? What is your goal short-term? Do you want to build a good farm system, or do you want to be a playoff contender? Because unfortunately, you can't be both, in my opinion. You can't buy the ingredients for the cake and also eat the cake. You got to either be the one that makes the cake or the one that consumes it. You know, that's the analogy. So it sounds like, because he's stated very many times, we want to have one of the best farm systems that can be around for a long time. So that way our players do well, you know, they're around for, we have good young core players for a long time. And then we can try to win a chip without having to pay large amounts of money for top tier players when you can just grow them yourselves. But this is the dilemma that you have. Yes, you want to see the Mets get in the playoffs. You want, you know, they pay a lot of money. He paid a lot of money for this players that he has, the Martinez's, the Lindors, you know, all these other guys. So when you do something like that, you're basically saying, I'm in it to win it now and not like rebuild. So I think he's hoping that if the way he looks at it, it's a win-win situation, because his thinking is, well, if we don't make the playoffs, that's okay, because I'll trade my star players and get prospects for it, hopefully, and build up the farm system. But if we make the playoffs, all right, we don't build the farm system right away, but we're now a playoff contender, and that's good experience for the organization. So it'll be interesting what Steve Cohen is doing. You know, I don't know. If I'm the Mets, you know, you can't just blow seasons away. You know, seasons come and go, and every year doesn't guarantee you that you're going to be in the playoffs. You know, the thing is about, look at the Arizona Diamondbacks last year. If you asked them last year, beginning of last year, you think they were going to be in the World Series? The answer would be, heck no. They just probably just like, oh, we're just the middle of the back team. We know we have a good team, but that's just about it. But other than that, they weren't expecting to go to the World Series, and I think that's what the Mets are hoping. You know, baseball, that's the great thing about baseball. You have two halves. You know. For example, a couple of years ago, Yankees started off well, and the second half, they just fell apart. You know, maybe this is what's going to happen with the Mets. Start off slowly, and then get hot and ride it into the regular season, into the second half. So if that can happen, then it's going to be good for you guys. So it'll be interesting. Part of me wants to see the Mets make it, because then it'll be competition for the Braves, because it looks like Philadelphia is going to run away with the NL East. They're just continuing to win and win and win.
Yeah, they're so good.
Even though they lost 2 out of 3 to Baltimore, and but they just continue to win, and Atlanta keeps losing. So, I think it'll be interesting. So, if you're only, what, you said 4 games out of the wild card or 2?
Oh, no, no. We're right now, at this moment, as we speak, we're a half a game out of the 2nd and 3rd wild card. You know, we're competing with San Francisco. We're competing with Washington and the Cubs.
Yeah. So, all those teams that are ahead of you, you could get ahead of them because Cubs are not all that great. They're inconsistent. Who was the other 2 teams you said?
So we have San Francisco, right?
San Francisco is not a good team. You could beat them.
Yeah, and the Nationals.
They're not a contender. They're a young team who's. I like the Nationals because they kind of remind me of the Orioles 2 years ago when they were up and coming. You know, they fought like heck. They were not an easy out, and they're gonna get the money's worth. And so I think that's what the Nationals are this year. I think next year they'll be contenders. But all those teams ahead, San Francisco, Chicago, the Nationals, the Mets could easily pass. I think they have a better roster than all those teams. So the question is can the Mets starting staff play up to the potential that they're currently playing now, which is pretty well for a bunch of guys that were, you know, cast-offs from other teams. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the funny thing is that Chicago's coming up soon. We're going to play them in the next couple of days. And, you know, the litmus test is coming as well because, you know, we have to play the Yankees. Are we going to be able to play the Yankees? I mean, if we bring momentum, you know, going into the Yankees series, which is only 2 games, you know, I wouldn't mind splitting it. And, you know, taking 2 would be amazing. But going 0-2 with the Yankees, I'm not going to like that at all because right now we're trying to build something and we want to stay, you know, on top of things. You know, like I said, if we win tonight, if we win tonight against the Rangers, not only did we sweep them, that'll be 8 games in a row. All right, so we have something going, and we want to keep it going, you know. But we'll see what happens, you know. We'll see what happens. It's, like, very interesting. Like we said, right now you guys are playing the Yankees as we speak, and you guys are winning, right? I believe so. We're going into the ninth.
Top
now.
9th, 5-4 Baltimore. They just, I think, Yeah. Yankees hit into a double play, so that was good. And then the Mets game, you know, it's 3-3 right now, top 7, man on first. So
man on first.
Let me tell you something. I'm gonna list the top 3 disappointing teams so far. My number 1 would definitely be the Texas Rangers. I understand they don't have their starting pitching back and all that. My second team would be the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, and then the third team would definitely be Toronto. I think Toronto's the biggest disappointment of all of them because they've had such a good young core of players who are all-stars. And, you know, they got Barrios a couple years ago. They got him from Minnesota. He's the pitcher. They have all these guys. Romero, I think his name is. Biggio, Bichette, Guerrero. And they're just constantly finishing third. Now, granted, the AL East is hard, but
it's hard.
They're a good team. I just don't understand how they're so underperforming. It's just – and Vladimir Guerrero has had a horrible year. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's something in the water in the up in Canada. I don't know what it is. But they've been far. But those are the top 3 disappointing teams.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams out there in the majors that I really like and love, right? And Toronto's one of them because, you know, like I said, they have a lot of offspring. And you want to see those guys. And when you see them all together on one club, you know, it's special. You know, you would love to see them succeed, but it's not happening. You know, Baltimore's another team that I love. I love the energy that those guys bring to the table. And I, you know, being your boy for so many years, you know, I seen your struggle. But then I saw the buildup as well, you know, and I saw the growth. And I like to see you smiling, you know, say my team is doing well, and they are, you know, and I want to see them. I want to see them up there. I want to see them win that championship, you know, and hopefully, you know, they do it before the Mets do it, you know, because the Mets are in the same situation that you were in a couple of years ago, but now you guys actually have a team that can actually make it happen. So I want to see you guys pull it off, and you never know. Maybe in the next couple of years, it'll be, you know, a Baltimore Orioles versus Mets World Series, and I'm not gonna be, you know, so nice when that happens, but it's gonna happen. I have a feeling that it can happen. You know, all these older teams that spend a lot of money on these veterans and they want to spend the big bucks to win now, those teams don't last forever. But a team like the Orioles can definitely repeat because they're young and they're hungry.
And those guys are under control for at least 4 to 5 years, so you don't have to pay them big bucks. Exactly. That was the problem with Baltimore when they had Machados and Jonathan Scopes and the Zach Brittons of the world, was that they were good young pieces, J.J. Hardy, but the problem was is the contracts were due and they were not good and they couldn't afford to re-sign him. But now you have a new ownership who has money with a bunch of other people that are invested into the org, with the ownership. So you have a new owner who's not afraid to spend the money. He so much reminds me of Steve Cohen. He doesn't care. He's going to do what's best to make the organization great. Now, he's not going to willy-nilly just throw money around. That's one thing I do like about Steve Cohen. I know you might not like it, is that he's not just going to willy-nilly just throw money around because I got money. That's not how people stay rich. You know, they're smart with their money, and he's going to approach his money the way, you know, Cohen approaches his hedge fund, you know, the way he runs that, you know. Yeah. You don't become rich by blowing all your money and buying whatever you want. That's what poor people do, you know what I mean? That's the difference between rich and poor people. So I hope the Orioles are more, they think about the long term and the ramifications of what happens and, you know, what happened. You know, I would just think, wow, now that the Orioles have a new ownership, maybe they could be contenders to sign Juan Soto. But the problem with that is, you sign this guy, now what happens, you know, in that 10-year contract, going to the third year of that Juan Soto contract, guess what? Allie Rutschman and Henderson are going to want money. You think the Orioles are going to want to let those guys go? I don't think so, because when they go to renew their contracts, they're going to be in their late 20s, which is still prime, pretty good years for those players. I think a lot of these players are 22, 21, 22 years old, 23. So when the 5 years is up, they'll be 28 years old. So that's still good. Look at Juan Soto. He's a perfect example.
Yeah.
He's going to get big contract. He's under 30. So it's worth the money. You know what I mean?
It is, totally. Not only that, this guy's a champion already. It's just crazy, you know? And he's played for a lot of teams, and he's been able to, like, move and produce. You understand? Like, okay, the perfect example, Lindor. Lindor was great when he played for Cleveland, you know, when they were back in the day when they were still the Indians, right? He was really amazing, right? He's a guy that you say, wow, I wish I had that guy on my team. Then the transition over from there to New York, for some reason, it just didn't happen, you know? Soto was able to do it so many times over, you know? He played for Washington, was able to help them win a championship. Then they couldn't figure out the money situation. They traded him. He went to San Diego. He was able to produce over there as well. And it's funny because that San Diego team reminds me of the Toronto Blue Jays team right now. They had a lot of stars. And for some reason, they were unable to finish. They were unable to do it. All right? So then he goes from there and he moves on to the Yankees once again, right? He's moving from the East to the West in the National League and then going back to the East in the American League. And once again, able to produce right off the bat, like with no problem. The transition was easy for him. And this is why he's a great star. And, you know, he can totally carry a team on his back, you know? So whatever. We'll see what happens with that. But we're coming to the end of the show, and you know, we're gonna talk about the head of the week, and that's JD Martinez. Once again, you know, like I say, he's been carrying the Mets on his back, and this week, you know, he hit .450, 3 homers, 9 RBIs. That's insane, you know? Like you said, that was interesting. That little comment that you said not too long ago about, imagine if we had JD Martinez during spring training. Maybe he would have been able to ramp it up a lot earlier, and maybe we would have been able to win a lot more games, those little close games that we lost. We lost a lot of close games, these one-run games, two-run games, you know. And if he would have been around for spring training, and then, you know, it took him a while to actually get to the team because he was, you know, still in Florida trying to figure it out. And he said, I'll join the team when I'm ready. So imagine, like you said, that was a very interesting comment that you made, you know. But the pitch of the week, like we were talking about earlier, you said that the Washington Nationals have a really young ball club and they have a lot of stars that, you know, can, you know, help this team grow later on in the future and they can be competitive later, right? Mackenzie Gore, he went 7 innings, struck out 10, allowed 5 hits and 1 earned run, beating Miami 3-1. Yeah, Miami isn't so good this year, but still, for a pitcher to go on the mound, go 7 and strike out 10, it's not like these guys aren't professionals, you know? And I saw the Miami Marlins play the Mets, you know, not too long ago, a couple of days ago, and they're tough out. They're tough out. So for this guy to be able to do that, salute, you know? Now, we're coming to the end of the show, and, you know, I always have a trivia question for you. This should be easy for you. You should be able to figure this out. And this is good trivia because at the end of it, you're going to say, damn, that guy is amazing. He's really good. Like, it's really hard to pull off. So for a player to be able to pull this off, it's going to be crazy. And now I'm setting it up a little different because usually, you know, I know you're not, you know, Googling the answer because that's not your style. But usually I put the question in the notes. I never put the answer in the notes, but I usually put the question in the notes. And I know you don't really look at the notes because you like to fly off the cuff because you're so good at this. But the question, who is the only player in MLB history to hit 40 home runs and collect 70 steals in one regular season?
Well, the only guy I could come to mind and think about is the great Ricky Henderson. That would be my guess.
That's a good guess, but you're wrong.
Oh. I just thought, my other guess would be, give me 3 guesses. My other one would be Ronald Acuna.
Yes, sir. You got it. All right, so let me explain.
The steals was what draw my attention, not
yes,
the home
of
runs.
Course. Yeah, because he's still that guy. He's that guy. You know, it's funny because the steals in the game.
He did that last year and too.
That exactly happened last year. So last year he had 41 home runs and stole 73 bases, bro, in a season. That's crazy. You know, it's funny because, you know, I talk to my dad about this all the time. I'm like, you know what? Remember back in the day when we had a collection of players that were really into stealing, and it was a big part of the
game. Jose Reyes.
Yes, you know, Ricky Henderson, like you said, you know, like, but now it seems like it's coming back into play. You know, you have Ellie De La Cruz, you know, these young guys that are turning the stealing back, you know, into something fun to watch, you know, because you know what?
Well, you know why that is, right?
Tell me.
Just remember, it's easier to steal bases now because they've moved the bases closer and the bases are bigger. So that increases your ability to steal. So that's the other reason why. And also they want to make the game more exciting. You know, no one wants to sit there and watch a guy sit on first and, you know, BS with the first baseman. They want action. We live in a world where we have constant action. And sometimes in life, you don't always get constant action. Sometimes there's dull moments. And baseball is filled with a lot of dull moments, but baseball is trying to get rid of that. That's why they shorten the bases, so it makes it more challenging. But, so that record is easily going to get broken many times over unless they go back to, you know, making the bases smaller, then maybe it'll decrease. But I know, a couple years ago, Cedric Mullins came close to it. He had like 30-30, something like that. We had 30 home runs and 30-plus stolen base, something like that. 30-40, something like that.
Yeah, but 30-30 is something that happens a lot, you know, especially for the fast guys because they can easily steal 30 bases, but hitting the 30 home runs is still a little difficult. It's a difficult thing to do, you know.
Definitely.
You know, 30 home runs in a year, it's difficult. Now, it's the base stealing, when a guy has it down packed and he knows exactly what he's doing and he has the timing, and, you know, he knows, and he's fast. That can be pulled off a lot easier than hitting 30 home runs. But you have to understand, 41 home runs and 73 stolen bases, that's ridiculous, you know? It's hard enough. So basically, what we're saying is that a 40 home run guy on your club, on your ball club, man, you're set. You don't want to let that guy go. And now he's stealing 73 steals in a year? That's crazy to me. So that means every time he gets on base, even if it's a bloop or whatever, he's on first.
walk.
A walk. It doesn't matter. You don't want to walk this guy. You have a serious problem.
It puts pressure on the pitching staff.
Yeah,
and the defense. Does.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now you have to understand too. Remember what you said. You said the bases are bigger and all this, right? So now don't forget that the pitcher can only throw over twice
per batter.
Per batter. So that, you know, takes a lot. You know, that's another reason why we're seeing a lot of steals too. Think about it. We're not wasting 10 minutes of baseball with the back and forth between the pitcher and the first baseman trying to keep this man at bay.
Yeah.
You know? So that you got to take that into consideration as well. But we're coming to the end of the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I had fun with this one. This was a great episode. I enjoyed it. You know, it's always fun talking to you, Lash. You know, like this is something that we strive for. You know, we wanted to get to this level, and we can only get better from this point on, you know. But I definitely,
that's the name of the game. Get better as you go.
But I definitely enjoyed this episode. We're gonna be bringing somebody to the show, and maybe the next two episodes. Very interesting guy, young guy, very savvy when it comes to the game, and he's probably gonna say a lot of interesting stuff that is gonna make you scratch your head, because you know he's looking at the ball game from a different perspective. He's a little younger than us, but he's a very intelligent guy, and I respect this guy because every time I sit down with this guy and I talk baseball, I'm like, damn. This guy's really smart.
He knows his stuff.
He reminds me of you. You know, so, you laugh, but...
baseball,
you
know, junkie.
Yeah, he's a baseball junkie. So, I'm looking forward to having you guys talk and having him on the show. And we're going to see you soon. And before we go, of course, you know, I want to say, let's go Mets. For the first time in a long time, I actually mean that. We're losing right now. We're going into the eighth. We're losing 5-3, but the Mets have something special about them. They love to produce runs in the late innings. So I'm going to, you know, tune in and watch the rest of that. And Baltimore has bases loaded with two outs in the top of the ninth, and they're winning 5-4. Man.
Yeah, they got to score, because if they don't, Yankees will win. Because the next three guys are coming back, or the three guys are tied the game, Volpe, Stanton, and Soto. So,
ooh, that's dangerous. But you know what? I'm going to tune into that game as well.
Yeah.
I wish us both luck tonight. I mean, the Mets already won the series against the Texans over there, you know? The Cowboys over there are upset, man. But you know what? It's okay. If we lose this game, I don't want to lose momentum. I want that eighth in a row. But it's okay if we don't get it, you know, because we still won the series and we have something going.
It's about momentum. Win series, not sweeps. Yeah,
exactly. You always say that. My dad always says that.
As every time you win series, you go two games ahead of that team you just played.
That's right. Yeah, 100%. 100%. But I wish us both luck tonight. And I want to say good night to all. And we'll see you on the next one.